Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is the place for the most practical, realistic, and most current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host Joe Truini, and so glad to be with you. And during this first hour of the show, we're going to talk about concrete expansion joints. They're a strange little aspect of concrete. We're going to talk about what happens when it needs a little maintenance. Also, stained wood in a home. You know, the old dark den of the 70s was a really cool thing to have back then, but now people are looking for some options. We're going to share with you a number of options that don't necessarily include breaking out the paintbrush and painting everything in sight. Maybe you can paint just a few things and make a big, big difference. Also, how you can eliminate wrinkles in carpet. People don't use carpet as much as they used to, but if you have carpet and you've got a wrinkle in it, well, you can take care of it in a much simpler way than you might think. Joe, what about that simple solution coming up?
All right, Danny. This is a quick tip on how to keep bugs and rodents and any kind of critter out of your house. And you might wonder, how did they get in the first place? Well, we're going to talk about that as well in the simple solution, and then how to seal up those holes and cracks so they don't keep coming in.
Yeah, nobody likes those bugs in the house, and they will find their way in if you give them just a little opportunity. We'll tell you how you can kind of shut down some of those avenues into your home in just a little while. We want you to reach out to us anytime. You can pick up the phone and call the Today's Homeowner Hotline. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week opportunity for you to let us know any question that you would like for us to answer, or if you have a comment for something that you would like for us to cover, pick up the phone right now, 800-946-4420 is the number. And of course, we love to get emails and appreciate all the great emails we've gotten this week. You can send us one right now or anytime at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Also want to remind you about all of our opportunities on social media. I mean, go to the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. Man, there's a lot going on there. A lot of posting taking place every single day on all kinds of information that you can use at your house. Also, check out Pinterest. We're scoring some unbelievable record numbers on people that are visiting us and seeing some of our ideas on Pinterest, Instagram. And of course, if you would like to send me a message through Twitter, you can do so at Danny Lipford. Joe, you know, a lot of buzz been happening around here. I'm telling you, when we found out just a couple days ago that the Today's Homeowner Television Show has been nominated for a National Emmy Award, yes, the champagne corks were popping all over town.
That's amazing. And this is not the first Emmy nomination you've received.
No, that's right. Correct? No, this is our second time having an opportunity to win this national award. And we're looking forward to heading out to, it's in Pasadena, California this year.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice little, so we'll probably add a couple days here and there. But the tricky part is, who's going with me?
Really?
Boy, everybody around the office sure is. They're treating me really good right now. Had somebody wash my truck the other day. I'm kidding. We'll have to decide on exactly our contingency that's going out there. But it'll be a great time and very exciting that we're being recognized. And this is actually one of the technical areas of the Emmys about multi-camera editing.
Oh.
Which is a tricky thing. And, of course, you know that Brad Rogers in our office is instrumental a lot of the editing that takes place, particularly on the Today's Homeowner Television Show. And this happens to be the one that they're using to judge on is the shows we did down in my hometown of Marianna, Florida, the big community service project we did down there on Lafayette Landing. And
I remember.
It seemed to resonate well with the judges as far as all, because they had drones flying in the air. They had GoPros on shovels. They had camera over here. They had one up on we had a lot of multi-camera situations going on there.
Yeah, I wonder if when the guy invented GoPro, you know, for like jumping out of airplanes and skiing down mountains, did he ever figure that someone's going to mount one on a shovel to give you that perspective? But they are, GoPros are everywhere. And when we shoot Simple Solutions, even we use the GoPro sometimes where, you know, another camera doesn't fit in there. And, you know, to Scott and Brad, who I work with very closely on those Simple Solutions, you know, they do a great job and it's well deserved, this nomination.
It's kind of funny. Some of the other people in the category, the Bold and Beautiful, you know,
really.
Yeah.
Is that you and me? Is that
that's what I was wondering.
Are you bald or are you beautiful? I always get that mixed up.
And the same category that we're competing against here, Kelly Clarkson and the Kelly Clarkson Show.
Okay. But that's all studio stuff. That's easy.
Yeah, I know it. Well, that's what I said.
Let's see her with a shovel and a GoPro.
That's right. So we'll see what happens on that. But very proud of a good bump in our road here in a good way. So we'll keep you posted on exactly what happens with that Emmy nomination. One other thing we're doing this week and each week for the next 3 weeks is a simple giveaway for Joe's phenomenally successful shed book. And all you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com and then go to the radio page, and right on the page there, you'll have an opportunity to win, and you can enter as many times as you like, and we'll be giving one away each week starting next week. Joe, first of all, this is the time of the year where a lot of people are exploring ways to deal with all the stuff they've accumulated. Certainly organizing the garage is a big thing right now, trying to figure out ways of utilizing the space that you have. But a lot of times it just comes down to you've got to have that outbuilding, and in many cases it makes a lot of sense, because there's a lot of things that can be stored in a storage building that should never be stored inside the house, like, petroleum products, different chemicals, and so forth. But I thoroughly enjoyed reading the shed book, and you really dug into a lot of things that are the most common questions that people ask. But just kind of give an overview of that book, because some people might not want to wait for a contest and might want to go right now and purchase it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, well, first, the publisher and I spent a lot of time trying to come up with the title that would be the best for this book. And this book is a DIY book for people who want to build their own sheds. So we came up with a title after much discussion. It's called Building Sheds. So there's no confusion on the content found within the pages here. It's a very straightforward book. It's the third shed book I've written, so I'm getting the hang of it here. Very quickly, most people want to get into building sheds, but the first chapter or two are about shed building methods, the construction methods, and then shed building products, meaning, siding and windows and roofing and all the things that go into building a shed. Most shed building books, they have lots of pictures of pretty sheds and a couple of photographs here and there, but they don't really show you how to build one. So we have step-by-step, and it goes from an 8x10 garden shed that's part greenhouse, which is kind of cool, all the way up to a 14x20 post and beam, almost barn. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful shed. And then the other three fall in between. They get progressively larger. So any size yard, any size storage requirement you have, hopefully one of these sheds will help you. And there are dozens of photographs, dozens of illustrations. I think the book is about 220 pages, so there's plenty in there. And I'm thrilled to be able to give away three of them. And if we get the name of the people and they want me to sign it for them, I can. If they want to give it as a gift to someone, just let me know what name they want on there, and I'll be happy to sign it. And I'll ship it out right from here.
Now, where could somebody go right this minute and buy it? There's a lot of impulse buyers out there that say this is exactly what we need.
Sure. They can go to Amazon, of course. They can go to the publisher. It's Taunton Press here in Connecticut. I'm not sure how many other bookstores are carrying it, but if you just go online, you can find it. It's simply called Building Sheds, or you just type in my name, and all the books I've written will pop up, and all the articles as well, including most of the work I've done with Today's Homeowner. But yeah, it's pretty easy to find.
And again, your opportunity to win, you can go right now to todayshomeowner.com, go to our radio page, and you'll see it right on the front of the page there on what you need to do to enter. Very, very simple. So best of luck to you on that. And Joe, we appreciate you providing those. And certainly there's so many situations with the sheds. And a shed doesn't have to look like an afterthought. If you follow some of the suggestions and tips that Joe has in this book, it can really blend into your yard a little, very well, kind of accenting some of the colors on the shed, to complement what you have in the house. And of course, landscaping never hurts.
We touch on all that, I also talk about the different features you can add to a shed. And the other thing I stress is outbuildings don't always have to be for storage. That's what everyone needs, of course, and that's the most common use. But if you want a writing studio, a music studio, someplace to do artwork, or even as a kid's playhouse, there's a lot of good reasons to build a shed.
Okay, we're just getting started here on Today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us. Coming up, we're going to talk about concrete expansion joints. What are they? Why are they? And what can you do when they start looking bad? All of that and a whole lot more right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
The sound of you doing music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery, so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
If you're looking for an extra measure of comfort, convenience, and cleanliness in your bathroom, nothing delivers at all like the SoftSpa electronic bidet toilet seat by FluidMaster. The SoftSpa is a full bidet offering a luxury experience without the expense of replacing your toilet. The SoftSpa features fully adjustable water pressure, temperature, and positioning, as well as a heated seat and warm air dryer. Don't settle for less than luxury in your bathroom. Trust FluidMaster.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done, and by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
The Today's Homeowner Radio Show is heard coast to coast on some amazing stations like this one in Seattle, Washington. It's KLFE AM 1590, The Answer. Hey, a special hello to the general manager, Andrew Adams, who put us on the air there. We appreciate that, Andrew, and we want to help anyone in that area of Washington with any challenge they may be having with their home, and we make it as easy as possible. First of all, if you like to email, well, we like to get them. You can send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask, or pick up the phone anytime, 800-946-4420, and give us a call and see how we can help you with anything that you're running into. Right now, we're going to head to the other coast, Massachusetts, and Pam is on the line right now. Pam, tell us what's going on around your house there, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. My house is like 70 years old, and in between the garage face, the garage flooring, they put about a foot and a half slab of concrete. And in between those two is an iron bar that is now, because it's 70 years old, rotting away. Unfortunately, only half of it has rotted away. The other half is rotted, but it's still intact. So it's coming out in chunks. So
that seems unusual. You know, expansion joints or dividers like that generally are made of a material like wood or some kind of composite material that'll allow that concrete to expand and contract a little bit. Certainly iron does very little expansion and contraction. So kind of an unusual scenario for that. Is one slab a little older than the other possibly?
Well, it's all one slab. It's all, you know, the main garage, and then there's the iron bar in between, and it's just one piece. I have a single garage, it's not a double, but half of it is just all gone, and the other half is like rusted, but it's still in place.
Okay, well, here's what you could do to make it look a lot better and also serve the purpose that that expansion joint should be serving. But it sounds a little barbaric to fix it like this. What we would normally do in a situation like this is take something called a side grinder. There's a number of other explanations of this type of power tool. Mm-hmm. But basically, it'll have an abrasive blade on it that's 5 or 6 inches in diameter. And boy, you put on the gloves, the glasses, the face mask, everything you got on the safety rack before you grab this thing. And then you actually would cut the top 3/4 of an inch off of whatever's left there. You want to be able to get a 1/2 inch or 3/4 inches cut down below the surface of the slab.
Great.
And that can be a little tricky and a little bit labor intensive to do. And of course, this can be rented very easily. And then once you cut that out and remove that, then, of course, you've cleaned out that gap very well. And then you fill it with a concrete repair caulk or an expansion caulk material. And basically, this will fill in that void, and you'll want to just make it nice and flush with the slab. And then once it dries, it remains a bit pliable so that during those changes in temperature and the movement of the slab, it won't cause it to crack like if you put mortar or concrete in that. So you might be able to find a handyman or even a remodeling contractor that would be able to work that in to do that exact project for you.
Yeah, that's the problem I'm having. Nobody wants to do anything around Massachusetts.
Well, unfortunately, that's all over the country. It's very hard. But I would really ask around with a lot of your friends and neighbors and such on someone that's a handyman that's done a lot of projects like that. It'll be something that they would be familiar with. And another thing I've recommended to people, and this has worked really well as a recommendation, is to call one of your local realtors.
Okay.
You know, the realtors deal with closings all the time and all of the different odds and ends that come out of home inspection. So if you know, the reputable realtor around your town and so forth, mm-hmm. call them and say, hey, you got a couple names of handyman. I guarantee you they have some that they use and they work very well. And just hit those phones hard and you'll find someone that can solve this problem for you.
Sounds good, Danny.
Okay, Pam. Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate it. We hope you have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Joe, that seems a little odd, doesn't it, that there would be metal in there if it's serving the purpose an expansion joint should serve. I wonder what the scenario is there.
Yeah, she said it's a bar, so I was thinking, is it a rebar? And I thought it was like a flat piece of steel that they put vertically like you'd see on the edge of a lawn or something.
Uh-huh. That's the first thing I thought about.
It seems like it should be an expansion material, not a piece of steel, but maybe that's what it is. But yeah, you're gonna have to just cut it out. I mean, you don't want to just wait till it all rots out. So yeah, I would just cut it out as much as you can and fill it with caulk. I mean, that's about all you can do. Fortunately, the issue isn't with the slabs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's not cracking out in the middle there, so it must be doing its job and not having any cracks elsewhere. Now the same goes if you have a wood expansion joint or if you have some of the old tar expansion material that might be deteriorating. It's the same thing. Use whatever tool necessary to cut it down to where it's about a half inch below the surface of the concrete. Then, if it's a bigger void, you can use backer rod, which is a foam type material readily available at Home Depot that you can force down into the crack and then put the caulk on top of that. That's what it's made for, to fill in some of those voids. But it is a good idea on any of those expansion joints on concrete, whether it's your patio or your driveway or sidewalk, to prevent that water from filtering down through there. Now, it may take a long time before it affects the concrete that with the cracks, but if you're not filling those expansion joints up and a lot of water is going underneath there, and particularly if you're in a northern area that you'll get water there that will freeze, you can get a lot of problems there. So very easy to head off that potentially expensive repair by doing something very, very simple right now.
And the other option for filling joints like that, as long as it's relatively level, is there's a company called Sika, S-I-K-A, that makes professional grade products, and you can get them at Home Depot. And they have a self-leveling caulk that works perfect for this, because you lay it in nice and thick, and that's it. And it just will level itself out. You don't have to tool it or smooth it or anything. And then the other trick I learned from a contractor is if you sprinkle a little bit of sand on top of it before it's completely dry, just use a leaf blower and blow it once it's dry, blow off the excess sand, that joint will kind of blend in a little bit with the surrounding surface, the concrete, because it has now a little bit of sand on it. So either way, though, the tip here, though, is use something flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And you can actually use some of the playground sand that's already filtered and clean and just sprinkle it across the top there. I like that idea, to make it blend in as much as you possibly can. Hey, we're going to grab an email right now. We'd love to get your email question. You can do so by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This came in from Mary in Illinois. How do I stretch wall-to-wall carpeting to eliminate a large wrinkle I have in the middle of my dining room? Living room. Well, I'll tell you, we've done this quite a bit, and boy, what a unique tool a knee kicker is. Have you used a knee kicker very much, Joe?
As little as I possibly can, because I still enjoy walking.
Yeah, I said the word barbaric earlier. That falls right into that category. Basically, it's about, 18 inches to 2 foot long. It has a pad that you use to kick your knee into it. On the other end, it has a pretty aggressive grip. It looks like a bear paw. Not that I've seen a lot of bear paws, but just imagine what they would look like. And you're basically using it to grip the carpet as you're crawling around on the floor, and you're kicking it with your knee. That puts a tremendous amount of force for that carpet to stretch. Now, if you're not a real strong do-it-yourselfer, this is one that's very easy to have the local carpet installer. You can get one of the installer's names by, calling one of the flooring supply companies there and let them basically do just a little service call to drop by. They also have the power stretcher that can really get it tight,
which is a long bar that braces up against one end and it sticks to the carpet, and you just pump this handle up and down and stretches it. And what you want to do before you do any of this is pull the edge of the carpet up off of the tack strip around the perimeter of the room so that it can move forward, because what you're going to end up with is excess carpet that you're going to have to trim away and then tap it back down onto that tack strip. And the other thing you may find is wrinkled areas tend to collect more dirt and dust than flat areas. So when you stretch it out, you'll probably see a dusty, dirty spot where you smoothed out that wrinkle. So you'll have to probably shampoo that area, in which case you might as well shampoo the whole rug.
And that's one of the advantages of tightening up the carpet. It makes it a lot easier to keep it nice and clean. Hey, coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio, we're going to talk about how to brighten up the dark dens of the 70s. All of that and a whole lot more right here on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment, brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Now, whether it's a string of lights over your patio, a fountain and a water feature, or a holiday light display, controlling electrical devices outdoors can be a real challenge. You forget to turn them off, or you remember as after you've gone to bed, you're outside unplugging them in your pajamas. The neighbors are entertained, but you're not very happy at this point. The Defiant Wi-Fi and Bluetooth-enabled outdoor smart plug solves this because it allows you to control an outdoor device through the HubSpace app from wherever you are. It uses your existing Wi-Fi network or Bluetooth control when your Wi-Fi is not set up or if the network is down. There's no hub required, and it's compatible with Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant, so you can use your voice to turn the devices on and off at any time. Plus, you can preset your on and off schedules in the app so that you never have to worry about remembering to turn everything off. So you can check out the Defiant HubSpace outdoor plug by going to HomeDepot.com. Hey, I want to remind you how you can reach out to us here at Today's Homeowner. You can send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask, or you can pick up the phone and give us a ring at 800-946-4420. That's what Carol did in Alpharetta, Georgia. And Carol, we're going to try to help you with a few ideas here, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be able to be connected with you guys.
Good. Tell us about some of the questions that you have here and some of the ideas that you have to kind of brighten things up inside the house. And we appreciate you sending the pictures. It's a type of scenario I have seen many, many times where it's absolutely beautiful, but you as the homeowner might be getting a little tired of some of the stained wood.
Well, it's interesting. So a couple years ago, I got on a crazy bend, and I actually sanded down all my kitchen cabinets and restained them to a lighter color because they're dark. I think the wood is provincial, the original wood from the house. I repainted the walls and had light blue in the kitchen and then like a sort of a cream white in the den since it's all one room. But the floors are hardwood and the trim around the windows, around the around everything, the door frames, around, we have French doors that lead into a sunroom. That's all the dark wood, and personally don't like it. And I'm not sure, we have beautiful paneling, it's, you know, in our den. My husband doesn't want me to touch it, and I know if I start, that's it. I'm going to be in trouble. So it's not pretty. Then I'm going to be midway through, and then I'm going to be saying to myself, why did I do this? So I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way maybe to either pull the trim down and restain it a lighter color, if that would work. I mean, I'm not quite sure what to do.
Okay. Well, I mean, there are a lot of ideas there and a lot of different ways to go on it. Of course, the serious part of it is once you paint that stained trim or stained paneling, you really can't go back on that. That has to be a real commitment in order to do that. And you've already done pretty good. I assume those walls, were they a paneling at some time that you painted over, or was that drywall?
No, that was drywall.
Okay, good.
That wasn't paneling. It's just the wood below and then the wood near the fireplace.
Okay. Well, I know Joe has some great ideas on this, but I'll say that one of the things that you might consider here is just simply to paint some of the wall around the fireplace, because that fireplace kind of blends right in right now. And if you can put more paint on the paneling on the walls, but save the actual mantelpiece and the areas that go down vertically from the mantel, that whole surround, leave it stained, maybe just lightly sand it and put another coat of varnish on it. But probably the hardest thing to do would be to try to lighten this trim, because that essentially means stripping all of it down.
Yeah.
But Joe, what would you do? Let's point Carol in the right direction here. What would you suggest that she try?
Considering I'm doing it.
That's right. Yeah, they've got to play that into it. That's right.
If you've already stripped cabinets and repainted them, you'd certainly do this. And I agree with Danny. The first thing I thought is to paint that fireplace wall a lighter color and possibly even the fireplace mantle. And as far as the trim around the windows and doors, even the crown molding, I never recommend removing trim to change the color of it. So I would leave it in place and I would paint it. I'd clean it really well and paint it a light color. You'd be surprised how just that alone will brighten up that space a little bit more.
And don't I need to sand that some?
No, I would just clean it really well. If there's some rough spots, you can lightly sand it, clean it with TSP, trisodium phosphate diluted, and just get it good and clean and dry. And then you might have to put a primer on it or try a paint that has a primer in it already. And you can certainly paint right over stained wood. There's no issue with that. So that's what I would do.
You're saying to paint that around the fireplace and then maybe paint the brick on the fireplace? Because that's got crown molding in the fireplace.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I would start by painting the wall and see if that lightens the space up enough. Then, yeah, you can leave the mantle the way it is, but you could certainly paint it. Yeah, you can paint the mantle.
Okay.
I think I would actually leave the mantle just like it is.
Right.
And then and leave the crown molding stained. And then just paint everything else between the crown and go ahead and leave your base molding stain and just paint that. It will make such a difference. And whether you paint it the same color as the adjacent walls or just have an accent wall there as a different color, you'll immediately, the whole room will be affected by that somewhat easy process. And then later on, if you see, okay, now we might want to paint the mantle, but I think that mantle and the wraparound mantle looks so nice. I think it's going to look even better once you have paint on either side of it and above it.
Interesting. What about the brick?
I would wait and see what it looks like afterwards, but it's very easy to whitewash the brick to brighten it up. You can paint it, any kind of color that you may want will certainly make a big difference. Or you might even decide to cover over it with some type of marble, granite, ceramic, porcelain, a lot of different options that you can do there, again, to put a little bit of an accent. Because no matter what you do, that fireplace is going to be the focal point of that room.
Right.
You might as well let it stand on its own.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And then as far as the walls behind the fireplace, I don't need to sand any of that?
Well, it's always good to lightly sand it or use a material called liquid sandpaper that'll allow you to etch it just a little bit. But since it's such a small area, it shouldn't be that much of a problem. And to also make sure that your husband's okay with it, go ahead and put a nice portrait of your husband right above the mantle there. Put a nice little light on it. See, that will smooth everything over, and you won't have to call the marriage counselor.
Thank you so much for all your suggestions. I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Oh, our pleasure. And if you need us along the way, let us know. You know how to get in touch with us. Thanks so much for being with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. If you're re-roofing your home, you want something that's durable, low maintenance, and of course, a value. So why not choose a quality metal roof that can last 50 plus years? Metal roofs are strong and durable, even in severe climates. And because a metal roof reduces maintenance, saves energy, and can last up to 3 times longer than other roofing, it's the definition of a great value. The Metal Roofing Alliance has created a buyer's guide that walks you through the process of buying a quality metal roof. It's available for free at metalroofing.com.
Captain's Log, Day 121, Mining for a Natural Lawn Weed Killer.
Hey there, I'm Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. Recently, I was looking for a natural way to kill weeds when I dug up the solution. Iron. It's the active ingredient in my lawn weed brew. Captain Jack's Lawn Weed Brew kills broadleaf weeds, dandelions, moss, algae, and more.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Lawn Weed Brew from Bonide. Learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Got a project? Trust the tough adhesives the pros depend on for demanding construction and repair jobs. Get unmatched strength and durability, helping reduce installation time and callbacks. Our multiple adhesive technologies meet a variety of performance needs and are perfect for interior and exterior use. Nothing beats their reliability. Tight Bond Construction Adhesives, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
And welcome back to the show. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and it's time to tackle some emails. If you send us an email, get ready. We're going to try to get to each and every one of them that we've received this week, and we would encourage you to send us one anytime by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Marianne in Connecticut asks, "Hi, Danny. I love your show. I want to repaint my hot water baseboard heaters, which have started to rust a little bit, especially the ones near the toilet. Can you tell me the supplies I need and how to go about this? I'm elderly, but I'm willing to give it a try." Good for you, Marianne. We want to help you make it as simple as possible. Now, baseboard heaters are something that is pretty rare in the Southeast where I've grown up, but very, very common where Joe is and where he's grown up, as well as I've seen them all over when I've traveled, especially ski areas and so forth, right. You know, mountain areas and so forth. Very, very popular, and the whole principle of it makes a lot of sense. But Joe, I have seen some that looked a little rugged and that needed a little help. So let me ask you a question that'll help you answer Marianne's question. Now, they have kind of a shield to protect you a little bit there. Are you able to take those shields off in order to help on the painting of those so that you essentially can take it outside or in the garage?
I happen to live in Connecticut, and I happen to have a hot water baseboard heater, so I know exactly what Marianne's talking about. Yeah, you can take them off. You can, the front panel just snaps right off, and then there's a little louvered damper that goes up and down to let heat out or close it off. I don't know why you'd ever close it off, but you can adjust that. And that pops right off as well. And then the back panel, which is fastened to the wall, is behind the heating element. So that stays in place. You don't need to remove that. And you would only need to paint the very top of that. It's only about an inch and a half wide. But in any case, once you pop off that front panel, which is usually the part that's rusted, and the reason Marianne's having trouble near the toilet, of course, is because all the moisture has gotten to it. If it's rusted bad enough, you know, you could easily replace it. But so you just pop them off and then just, you know, sand them or use a scraper or whatever you need to do to get all the old paint and rust off. And as long as the metal's intact, then you can just prime it, paint it, and put it back in. So it's not that big a deal. They do get beaten up either from people accidentally kicking them, the the vacuum cleaner banging into them, or they do rust simply from exposure to moisture, typically in bathrooms.
If you live close to her, then all she needs to do is to pick up the phone and call 1-800-HELP-ME-JOE, and and Joe will schedule that and come right over. No, don't do
Joe
that.
Joe Namath will show up at your house.
Let's don't do that. But best of luck to you on that, Mary Ann, and we admire you for trying to do a lot of these projects yourself. And I'll tell you, it may sound a little odd, but if you're going to be crawling around on the ground a lot, getting some inexpensive knee pads make it very worthwhile, and you might find that you end up, I saw someone in their yard the other day. It was a really going after those weeds and planting some plants, and they had knee pads on. I said, well, that's perfect for that as well. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
Anytime that you're down there. So, okay, let's go to another email here. Lori writes in, how can I lighten dark wood paneling without sanding? That's a question we just handled a minute ago. I'd like to paint or stain the paneling in antique white color. Do you think that would be enough to brighten up the room? Well, Lori, it does make a big, big difference. And you can go to todayshomeowner.com right now and see videos and some articles on how to properly paint paneling like that. And I really like the idea of an off-white, antique white color is what we've used a good bit on that. It does take a little time and it does take a little prep work, but we give you some great tips online and how you can make it a big success. But without a doubt, that can make a big difference in any room that you have that has the dark paneling. You might leave the trim paint stained, leave it stained, and then just use your painter's tape to tape around it, and then paint just the paneling. See what that does to the room. Later on, you can always paint the rest of the trim if you decide that you want to.
And the other suggestion I'd make is most paneling has vertical grooves in it, and we often recommend filling in those grooves, but you can certainly paint them and lighten up the room and not even deal with the grooves, because that's a lot extra work. And what you can do is prime it with a white primer without filling in the grooves and see what it looks like.
Sure, that makes a big difference. Let's squeeze another one in here. David from Maryland. We have a beautiful redwood front door that's over 70 years old. Unfortunately, it's developed a few cracks in the panels that are wide enough to let the wind blow through. What's the best thing to use to fill the cracks? Problem here is, David, if it is a if you maintain the redwood color or it is a stained door, then it's very difficult to try to fill in anything there that will seal the crack and not still be noticeable. Now, if it is a painted door, or if you decide to go painted, well, you have a lot of options there. Then you can fill that crack in, and you can use a different material, such as water putty is one. Another one is an epoxy, a two-part epoxy that you can fill it all in, or you can use a flexible material like caulk, and then just use your putty knife to wipe it nice and tight. Two coats of paint, maybe three coats since it's an exterior door, and that should seal it up and keep that crack from reappearing. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, it's simple solution time here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. Add beauty and excellent foot traffic to all types of slippery surfaces around your home with the TrackSafe system from Deitch Coatings. Start with the new TrackSafe color coat in one of five colors, pre-mixed and ready to install on steps, walkways, patios, and pool decks, even garage and workshop floors. Then finish with clear coats of TrackSafe anti-slip sealer to add slip-resistant safety. Plan your next project and order online today at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com.
Captain's Log, Day 121, Mining for a Natural Lawn Weed Killer.
Hey there, I'm Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. Recently, I was looking for a natural way to kill weeds when I dug up the solution. Iron. It's the active ingredient in my lawn weed brew. Captain Jack's lawn weed brew kills broadleaf weeds, dandelions, moss, algae, and more.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's lawn weed brew from Bonide. Learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
From installing a smart garage door opener to installing a bathroom faucet to removing a tree, The Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit homedepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Tight Bond, the Pro's Advantage.
And welcome back to the last part of our first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. This is where we check in with our buddy Joe Truini for this hour's simple solution.
All right, Danny, here's a safe, effective way to block out pests. And by safe, I mean non-toxic, all right? So, any kind of crack or hole you have around your house, you'd be surprised how little critters and certainly creepy crawlies, bugs, and spiders can get in, and then you'll find them in your house. So first, what you want to do is stuff some stainless steel wool into the holes. They're often sold as pot scrubbers. You can get them at the dollar store or hardware stores, and they look like little Brillo pads, but they're really springy, and they're made out of stainless steel, which is important because if you just use anything made out of iron or metal, it'll rust away. So you take them, stretch them out, and stuff them at the hole. Usually two or three is enough to fill most holes, and set it in, at least an inch or two. Then spray in some expanding foam sealant. Only instead of using regular expanding foam, you can actually buy pest blocking foam. It's specially made to deter rodents and other critters because the foam contains capsaicin, which is the ingredient that makes hot peppers hot. So what happens is you put in the steel wool, then you spray this foam over it, this pest blocking foam. If a mouse or something like that tries to eat through the foam, they'll get deterred by the hot taste. And if for some reason they like the hot taste and they keep going, they'll eventually hit the stainless steel, which they will not be able to chew through. So that's the tip. And in fact, if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions right now, you can see a video of me using this tip to seal up around, I believe it was an air conditioning line, where an air conditioning line goes into a home. And the hole is quite a bit bigger than the line, which was the problem. And the homeowner had filled it with regular expanding foam and discovered that some little critter came and ate his way right through the foam and right into the house. So I dug out all that foam and what was left of it. And then you'll see I make that repair with the tip I just gave.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And you think about being able to, seal it up for energy efficient aspects of things and the benefits of that. But then to put a barrier up against some insects, that's also a really, really good idea.
And by the way, one can of this foam, you'd probably never use it up if this is the only use you had. Because it took literally two or three little squirts, maybe I don't know, it probably didn't even hardly empty the can at all. It was way more because, of course, you put in a golf ball size bit of foam and expand, so like a basketball size almost, so uh-huh. And it's always going to expand and come out and look kind of ugly. Just let it dry, and then just saw it off with almost anything, a sharp utility knife, a hacksaw blade, almost anything, and cut it nice and flush with the outside of the house.
Or I'll tell you, that serrated blade on your wife's cake knife. I mean, don't let her see you use it. Got to have to, sneak in, get it, and then just cut it off and then, rinse it off a little bit with the garden hose before you put it back in the drawer.
Then say, honey, I saw this was left out. Are you making me a cake? And she'll say, no, of course not.
Hey, I want to remind you what you can see on the Today's Homeowner television show this weekend. If you're looking at that patio and wishing it was just a little bit bigger, well, you need to tune in. Just go to todayshomeowner.com and find out where you can see the Emmy-nominated Today's Homeowner television show in your area. What we did on this particular show, you'll be able to see how we actually expanded an existing patio by using paver base, the actual material that you use under pavers. We put it down, we topped it off with some pea gravel, we packed it in place, wet it down. You wouldn't believe how quick and easy it was to double the size of this patio. Very interesting way of expanding your existing outdoor living area without spending a lot of money. Also within this show, we'll show you how to build a very simple bench out of a really attractive bench out of treated wood with a plant shelf built right in to the back of it. And also, have you ever tried to hang a plant shelf on vinyl siding without putting a hole in the siding? Chelsea figured out how to do it. It's all in this week's show. Again, go to todayshomeowner.com to find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show, twice Emmy nominated. in your neck of the woods. Hey, I'm Danny Lippard, and along with my buddy Joe Truini, and that pretty much wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. Thanks for being with us.